The sermon title this morning is a Japanese phrase that I remember hearing as a child. Kodomo no tame ni, which in Japanese means for the sake of the children. It was something that Issei, Japanese immigrants who came to this country, it was a saying that undergirded why they came. One of the reasons why they came was so that they might find a better life for themselves, but find better lives as well for their children. It was the reason why second generation Japanese Americans worked so hard and sacrificed so much. They did so not just for themselves, but so that they might carve out a life for their children and know that their children were blessed by their sacrifice and were able to create lives that were even more full than their own lives. In the story that that Mark read, the people of Israel are coming into the Promised Land and they erect this monument. And as they erect the monument, they do so so that they will remember the story of the wilderness journey and how they entered into the Promised Land. But they do it not just for themselves, they do it for their children. And they do it for the generations that would follow. And in the poignant part of the passage, it says, when your children come up and ask you what this monument is about, tell them the story once again. And generations who follow, who were never there, they will know that that story has shaped who they are as people. And in looking at that monument, know that their lives are very much transformed by the story that they may not have lived and don't even know, but know that it has shaped those who came before them and enables them now to think of their lives as full and come to understand that God is with them in the promise of all of that. And so this saying is one that I remember growing up with as a child. It was something that my grandparents said. It was something that my parents said. It was something that I experienced every single day of my life, that my parents made it very clear to me that their goal in this life was to make sure that my life was better than their lives. Now, as we talk about it in this framework, I talk about it in the culture that I know, which is Japanese-American culture. But it is, absolutely, not just something that is a part of the Japanese community, but as a part of every culture, every community, every people. Isn't that really kind of the moral code of the life that we live? No matter where we come from, no matter what our religion is, no matter what our country is, no matter what language we speak, we think of our children as our most precious gift. And we think that we want to do everything in our power to make sure that our children have the kind of lives that enable them to flourish, to experience great joy, to experience the fulfillment that God makes possible for them. And know that we want to do everything in our power to make sure that that happens. That is, a common bond amongst all of us in this global family, that this is something that we all live and all desire, that we would experience this life in such a way that we work diligently and faithfully to enable our children to have a fullness that would bring them joy and hope and promise in this life. As we're talking about it this morning, and we think about it in the context of our church school, what a gift it is for us to see children and teachers who stand before us and realize that it is for us in that same spirit that we do so for the sake of the children. That we have a church school that is vital and vibrant. We have volunteers who give so much of their time and their energy because these children come to us and say, teach me the story of this faith. Help me to know the God that undergirds this church. Help me to experience the Holy Spirit that we experience in worship. They say to us, teach me the stories of Jesus. And so our volunteers come forth and they say, I want to come and be with our children so that we might walk together in those stories and in those stories come to experience the presence of God and the gifts of God and the hope and the promise that God has for us. And so as we lift up and honor our teachers and think about our children, we do so in that spirit. We have a church school in this church. We have volunteers who give so much for the sake of the children that they might come to know this life-transforming faith. And what I want to suggest to you all today is that for us in general, really thinking about this idea of doing something for the sake of the children, we realize that we live in a time when that message is so very important. We live in a world that is in such great conflict that we realize that there is a reality that is being proclaimed in this world, but it's one that the church wants to present an alternate vision and an alternate reality to. Think about what we see on television, what we read on the internet, what's in our newspapers, what we hear in our communities. What we hear is fear. What we hear is division. What we hear is individuality that draws us into that place where we think only about our own needs and our own selves and forget that we live in a community where we are all bound together in the fabric of what it is to be a part of God's global family. When we think about the tenor and the tone of our lives these days, doesn't it tell us even more fully that it is a time for us to proclaim a different message and do so for the sake of our children, knowing that they hear and know and understand all of the things that we are saying, what's on the news, what they read in the newspaper, they are influenced by all of that. But here in the church, what we want to be able to say is, while they're being influenced by that vision of this life, that we want to present an alternate vision that is given to us by God, that reminds us that what they hear in the world is not the way the world has to be. And that we want to be able to say in this that our world is the kind of place that God has created that can make for people in harmony, can make for a place of justice and peace, can be a place where we can live together as one global family. That is the kind of message that we need to have proclaimed in the world this day, because it's not being heard in a lot of places. And to be honest with you, it's not being heard in a lot of churches either. And that should make us very fearful. I was reading an article in the Huffington Post this last week, and in the article it said that 39% of the people do not think that President Obama is a Christian. And I thought that was an interesting thing. And 29% of the people think that he's a Muslim. And so when they asked these people how they came to that belief, it was an interesting response that they gave. How is it that we know that President Obama is not a Christian? Because he doesn't have the beliefs and values that I have. And when you explore that even more, here's what they say. He has these beliefs and values, I know, but they're different than mine. And mine are coming from the Bible, and his are not. And so he obviously is not a Christian. Look at the fruit of his life. He is not a Christian. And so you explored it. They explored it even more fully. And do you know what was driving that ultimately? It was the fact that President Obama believes in a woman's right to choose. It's the fact that President Obama believes in rights for gay and lesbian persons in our community. It's because President Obama believes in the funding of Planned Parenthood. Those three issues were the main reason why people thought that he was not a Christian. And as they explored it more fully, what came out from these people of faith is their belief that there is only one way to have faith, only one set of beliefs, only one kind of value. And if you fall outside of that, you are not a part of this faith. That is what is being proclaimed in the world today. Do you know why people have a negative opinion of Christians? Statistics say this over and over again. It's because Christians are judgmental, and they're narrow-minded, and they're self-righteous, and they're hypocritical. And where are they getting that? They are getting that from the things that are being said by the church. And so my question for us today, if we are going to live with a different kind of worldview, if we're going to teach our children something different, we do it here in the church, in this place, and present an alternate reality that would enable our children to find a different way of living in this world. And we have a church school for just this reason. Now you're probably saying to me, Reverend Derek, I thought we were just teaching Bible lessons in our Sunday school. What are we teaching our children? And what I want to suggest today is that we are teaching our children that the reality that they're hearing in this world, on the news, on the internet, that is not the world as God intends it to be. And so when our children come into our church school, we are teaching them about the love of God. We want to give our children the kind of faith that enables them to know that while we want to give them the power and the promise of the Christian faith and help them to know that faith intimately, that we also teach them to honor and to respect the faiths of others. At a time when we want our children to have strong beliefs, and we want them to know what it is to be a follower of Jesus and how that affects who we are day to day, we also want them to be able to respect those who do not follow the belief system that we might have, and know that we don't have the corner on any specific truth, that we understand the truth as we know it this day, but we open ourselves up to a wider world and say, we want to learn about others. We want to know what others believe and why they believe it. We want to hear stories from other faiths because it enables us to know that we are, in honoring that, able to say that we are a global family, even in the midst of those things that might cause division in this world. We want our children to have strong values, but we want for them also to honor those whose values might be different than theirs. We want our children to be able to say that they love their lives just as they are, and that they come to understand the blessings that God has provided for them each and every day. But we also want our children to be able to say that we can respect the lives and the lived experience of others, rich and poor, rural, urban, suburban, all across the racial spectrum of this culture. We want them to be able to say that in their living of this life, that they come to the place where they can celebrate their faith and give thanks for their lives, but know too that they can also in that be able to honor and respect and be in relationship with those whose experiences might be different, whose faiths are different, whose story is different, but know that we are all part of one family, and in that come to find a unity that enables us to experience relationships that bring us closer to one another. The world that we are living in today, that's not the values that our children are being taught. And so it makes the call for us as a church even more clear when we think about what we do for the sake of our children. We realize that we are trying to present an alternate reality that helps them to know that what they are hearing in the world is not the way the world has to be. And that the church teaches them a sense of value and belief and faith that enables them to know what they believe, but to be able to respect and honor and be in relationship with those whose beliefs and values might be different than their own. At the church that I came from, we used to do this curriculum that I thought was wonderful. It had what were called the three great truths. And this is for children's services. And so I was working with an associate pastor who had this very genuine and loving spirit. And every time he would go before the children, he would start with these three great truths. And he would open his arms up like this to the children. He'd say, children, let's join together in the three big truths. And they would do it together. They had come to memorize this, and they did it every Sunday. Our God is a great big God. And God loves us with a great big love. And we are all a part of God's great big world. Now you might hear that and think to yourself, well, those are really three simple things, and it's nice that our children know that. But even in the way that we teach faith like that, we teach our children that God is greater and bigger than we can even imagine, that God's love is more full than even we could understand, and that we are together, despite our differences, despite the ways that we might experience the challenges and changes of being in relationship with others who are very different than us, that we are all a part of God's great big world. In a very simple way and through very simple curriculum, we teach values to our children that enable them to know that what they are hearing in the world is not the way the world has to be. And so for us, the challenge this day is to know that when we think about ministry for our children, we realize how important what we do here is in this place. Because we want our children to walk into the world seeing a different kind of hope and promise than they are receiving in the world as they are living it outside the church. And so our challenge is for us to see ways that we can teach that faith in every circumstance, in every capacity. A few weeks ago, Bishop Haggia was here, and we had a question and answer session that was, actually, it was kind of fun for me. I don't get to ask him questions very often, so it was actually fun to ask him some questions. But I gave him a question that was sort of a setup, because I actually wanted him to talk about his father. His father was somebody that I knew when I worked at Wesley Church in San Jose, and I wanted him to talk about his father and stories about his dad. And so I asked him what he remembered about his dad, and in his response, do you remember what he said? He told a story about a time that he was driving with his father out of town, and as they were driving together, there was a moment of silence. And then at one point, Bishop Grant's father said, "You know, Grant, I'm sorry that I didn't give you more that would enable you to be a success in this life. I wish I could have given you more that would enable you to experience life in a different sort of way." And Bishop Grant turned to his dad and said, "You know, Dad, you gave us everything. You gave us values, and you gave us faith. You gave us an example of how to live in this life with grace and with generosity and as a servant. And you taught us how to love. And you taught us how to live a life of commitment and promise to others." And as he was telling that story, I was just mindful of my images of his dad. His dad was a wonderful, wonderful man. And as I was thinking about that story, I realized that in many ways, that is a reflection of who we are and what we try to do for our children. When we think about the kinds of teaching that we want to do for them, we want to teach them the stories of Jesus. It's true. But what we want them to know is that we are giving to them a life-transforming faith that would be the foundation upon which they can build their entire lives. And that the values that we hope that we are instilling in them is not something that we just speak about. It's something that we live. It's something that we have in relationship. It's something that we do every single time that we are together. So that when our children walk away from this church, they would be able to say that their lives are transformed because they belong to a church that lived that life-transforming faith and proclaimed a reality different than they had been experiencing in the world every single day. And so the question that you might ask yourself is, well, Reverend Derek, I hear what you're saying. How do we support the children in this ministry? So I want to give you a few very concrete things, and then I'm done. Here's the concrete thing. First of all, what I want to ask for you to do is pray for the children. Pray for them. You know that the lives that they live are so very difficult. They are so challenged each and every day, and they are learning things about this life that in some ways they are much too young to have to experience. And so pray for them. Pray that God would be with them through role models and teachers, that God would speak to them through the love in relationships with family members and friends, and pray for their life of faith that they would come to know and experience a life-transforming relationship with Jesus. Pray for them. Please pray for them. Pray for them every single time you see them. Pray for them when they come up for the children's lesson. Pray for them every day. Their prayer, your prayers for them will surround them with a spirit that will continue to bless them in their lives. Second, I want to suggest as well that what you can do is give of yourself. And there are several ways that you can do that. One is that you can give of your time. The other is you can give of your talents. And the other is you can give your financial giving. Because all of those enable our church school to be a vital place where our children are experiencing all of the things that we are describing here today. And so give of yourself in some way. You may not think of yourself as somebody who can be a teacher, and yet you can be someone who prepares the snacks. You can be the person who carves out the crafts for the children. You can be the person who reads the story to the children in their children's time. There's so much that you can do to support children's ministry just where you are. And so I invite you into that, to think of a way that you might be able to, just where you are, to offer yourself for the children of this church and to teach them the kind of faith and love that we are describing here in this place. And finally, what I want to suggest to you all as well is when you see our children on Sundays, engage them. When they're carrying a craft activity, say, "Show me the picture that you drew." Ask them the story that they learned in their class and help them to know that they are your children. You may not even know their names, and yet as you kneel down next to them and ask them their names and meet eye to eye with them, you give to them a value and a love and a hope that undergirds them in their daily lives. And so engage them, because it will not only, I guarantee you, bring joy to them, it'll bring joy to you as well. So my prayer this day is that we would take this saying that is a part of the Japanese culture, but it's a part of all cultures, that we would do what we do here in this church for the sake of the children and the generations that would follow us. We have been a church in existence for 112 years, and we realize that that very spirit is what has undergirded this congregation throughout of those 112 years. And the question for us is, what is it that we will do to continue to expand that legacy into the next generation? And I will tell you that what happens in our classrooms, what was represented by our children standing up here with the teachers, that is the very source and heart of what it is that will enable our children to have the kind of faith that they will be able to lean on for the rest of their lives. And so we do that as a church for the sake of our children and for the future of God's kingdom here on earth. Let the children be for us a monument that would enable us to remember the story that got us to this place, but know as well that they would be the monument that leads to the generations that would follow, and that their lives would be a testimony to the story of faith that we are proclaiming this day. Let us be about that and know that that is the gift that God has given to us, but it's also the task and the call that God has given to us in this life. Let's join together for a word of prayer. Gracious God, we are so grateful and thankful for this Rally Sunday, and we are thankful for the gift of the children in this church and all of the ways that you have enabled us to see how you have called us into the lives of faith that we might give a testimony to this faith that is all-encompassing, that is unconditional in its love, that enables us to build and bind relationships that go across our faith and culture and language. And find that we might live together as your global family. We pray, oh God, that you would enable us to know how important the message that we have to bring is. And we pray, oh God, that you would enable us to be undergirded by that message and know that it is vital for our children to receive the gift of that message so that they would feel the sense that you are with them always. And that as they come to explore their faith and beliefs, as they come to explore and be in relationship with others who are very different than them, that they would come to know that even in those relationships, they're growing each day into the children that you've called them to be. And so as a church, oh God, we give this testimony this day. And we give as well a testimony that proclaims that we would not just see the children as gifts to this church, but also a gift to this world. And we pray, oh God, that you would enable us as a church and ministry to do all of these things for the sake of the children, that they might surely know this faith and come to experience the love of Christ that would transform their lives forever. We pray these things, O God, to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.